Amen. God gave you this message in the middle of the night. And it's, you know, he's doing something new in my life on how these words are coming. And I'm going to challenge you today. And I'm going to put somebody on the spot today. Amen. And he has given me the title, No Texting Allowed. Amen. God is winking at you. So I got two separate words, so I combine the titles into two. Amen. And I normally don't do this, but I got a couple of props that I'm going to use. Amen. And so a little background, how this word came to me. Me and my beloved were having a disagreement because we don't fight. Amen. We were not seeing eye to eye. And I got up and I went out of the room and I do what I normally do. I went and got my Bible. And I sat in the kitchen. And I flipped to a page and I just started reading. I say, Lord, talk to me. And then maybe 30, 40 minutes later, I went got back in the bed and rubbed her on the back and we went on to sleep. Argument was over. We talked the next day. We resolved the issues that we had. And so when I flipped in my Bible, I flipped to Acts 17, and that's where I'm going to be coming from today. Acts 17. And as I was reading, because when you just flip to your Bible, when you just randomly flip and start reading and say, Lord, talk to me, I started reading and I say, God, as many times as I've read Acts, I say, I don't remember this. And the word was just so good to me. And I was sitting up. It was about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. The word was so good to me. And I began to think about Pastor Carter. She used to say all the time that in the last days, they're going to take the Bibles. And God started showing me, but he was like, son, I don't think it's going to look like what y'all thought. Y'all thought somebody was going to physically come in your house and take your Bible from you. Amen. So for my first prop is this little thing right here. This is my first prop. I want somebody to tell me if they know what this is. Anybody ever seen one of you before? So when I first got saved in the Word, I had my paper Bible, and then I got fancy. Got this little thing right here where you can type in the verse and it'll pull the scripture up on. So if I type in John 3:16 on here, it'll pull it up and I can read it on the screen. I can just type in what I wanted. And you might be thinking like, man, that was something back then because I didn't have this. The only thing I had to rely on was these words in the back of this Bible and this little thing right here when I got fancy. I could search a word. I could search singing. And then they'd give me all the verses with singing. I thought I was fancy. I was doing something. And I would have my notebook and my pen and my highlighter. And I would be digging in the word hours after hours. And I would read all the time. And that's how the word got in me. Right? And when I'm on this, Instagram wasn't pulling up. I couldn't pull Instagram up on here. Nobody could text me while I was reading my word on here, right? Nobody could get to me. I couldn't get no phone call. And I began thinking, I was like, you know, Pastor Carter was saying that in the last days, they're going to take the Bible. It's not going to look like what you think. The Bible is just being replaced. It's being replaced with everything. It's being replaced with all these opinions. It's being replaced with YouTube. Now you don't have to look it up yourself. You just go search for a podcast or somebody preaching on it. You get your 3-minute snippet of whatever they're talking about, and that's you've done your research. You know what you're talking about. You're an expert now. But as I was sitting there in the kitchen at 2-something in the morning, just reading my word, the word got so good to me. And then this is the other thing. Let me get one brave volunteer. Anybody who brave? Who trusts me in here? All right, stay right there. This Bible was given to me by my parents in 2014, so it's almost 10 years old. And this was my show love day, and it was 10 years since I had been in the church. I want you to give me your phone. You can't get your phone back. You can't. You keep my Bible, I'm going to keep your phone. And you're not to get another phone. You just have to keep my Bible. How many of y'all would be willing to make that swap? How many of y'all would be willing to make that swap? And I'm doing that because I want you to understand the posture of our hearts, how we say we love God, but something as simple as I'm going to trade you my Bible for your phone, that do something on the inside of us where we don't like, hold on now. Now, I know somebody said, that's ooh, I got to pass the Bible. All I got to do is just go get me another one. I can just go get me another one. But I started to look at my mother and my father. My mama got two cell phones, y'all. She got one, so when she got rid of the landline, she put the landline on the cell phone. I'm like, Mama, you got a regular cell phone and then another cell phone with the house number on it. And neither one of them cell phones does she have on her. She got the ringer on, and she got the ringer turned all the way up so that when the phone rings, she can find it. Or my dad will yell, baby, your phone ringing. But she is not concerned with her phone. When my phone rang, I don't have my watch on today. If I don't have it on, my Apple Watch is going to tell me that somebody's texting me, or if I can't find my phone, I'm going to just hit the button and it's going to ping it for me. And then I started to think about how my mama very rarely, if she texts me, it's going to be three words. But more than likely, she's going to call me, what you doing? And she's going to want to talk to me. Because that's the generation that she grew up. Like, she don't want to. And if I start texting back, they just going to be like, just call me when you get a chance. I don't want to text. Because they're going to get tired of texting with me. They're going to want to talk to me. And I want y'all to understand why I'm doing this. Because so much of what we do, one of the things, like, I'm not against technology. This makes a lot of things easier. But I want you to know how easy it is for this one little thing to replace God in your life. This is your music. This is your entertainment. This is your communication. This is your navigation. This is your money. You can have your cards on here. This is your everything. But when I ask you to trade that Bible for this, would you be willing to do it? Mama gave me that. Now, Israel stand. If I'm on my deathbed, which one of these would you want? This or this? Which one would you want me to lead to you? What you gonna do with this when I'm gone? Or this? How many of y'all wish, for those who have lost someone, how many of y'all wish this is what was left to you from your parent? To have it left to you when you can see what my mama wrote something in. When you can see what I highlighted. In 3 years, well, this already, because this is a 12 or 13. This ain't even got the fire cameras on the back. It's already obsolete, but this, the test of time. This, when the money ain't right. This, when the marriage ain't right. This, when the kids ain't right. This can't solve nothing. It can't solve nothing at all. It can't solve nothing at all. And so, Acts 17. I showed you that because I want you, sometimes when you get too far away from what got you saved in the first place, you need to turn around and go back. When you get too far away from this, when you get too far away from doing it the hard way, from looking it up the hard way, from spending hours to find the answer. When you get too far away from this, when God gets too easy, when he gets too easy, when he gets too convenient, you need to go back and do it the old way. You need to go back and do it the old way. You need to go back and instead of copying and pasting it in your notes, take that pen and copy it and paste it in your journal. You need to go back and do it the old way, because that's taking more time. That's worship. A lot of times we think that the worship is just the music. That's worship. Because you are going, you're putting more energy into doing it that way than just going and Googling it, watching a little video. All right, Acts 17. In Acts 17, so if you don't know, the book of Acts is about how God's church gets started and then the missionary journeys that happened after that. So how the disciples spread the word after Jesus was gone. And when you read the New Testament, all of these books, Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, all of these books are letters that Paul wrote to these churches that he would go and minister in. So Paul is going around and Paul is spreading the word. He's going to all of these places, and the people that he had discipled, the Tituses and the Jasons and the Apollos and all these people that Paul had discipled, they are also traveling to these churches and they are spreading God's word. And I began to notice something. This is how chapter 17 ministered to me, and I hope that it ministers to you. And so the primary verses that I'm going to read from is going to be verses 22 through 31, but I'm going to start in the first verse just to give y'all a little background. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as in his manner, went in unto them, and took three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So Paul went to these churches, and he stayed in these churches for about 3 weeks, three Sabbaths. And he just was teaching out of the scriptures. He said, the third verse says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. So he's teaching them about how Christ died and how he was resurrected from the dead. And that Jesus, whom he was preaching about, was the Christ, was the Messiah. The word says some of them believed, right? Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. Some of them believed, and they took the time to say, teach me more, right? And then some of, we're talking about Jews, and then some of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and a few of the women were also saved. So a lot of people believed. But then in the fifth verse, it says, but the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto themselves certain new fellows of the baser sort, so some ratchet people, right? And gathered a company and set all the city in uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these are they that have turned the world upside down. So it's a pattern in this book. I'm not going to read all of it to you, but Paul would go to this house. He would preach. Some people would believe. Some people would not. The ones that didn't believe, they were causing uproar. They were causing uproar, right? So then when Paul left those cities, he went to another city. And the word says that even more people got saved. But when the people that were in the previous city heard, they followed them there and created another uproar. And then Paul would go to another city. And as I was sitting in the kitchen at night, and I was just like, I'm reading, because I just, like I told y'all, I just flipped. And I say, God, just talk to me. And God was just like, son, you have to keep moving. And this had nothing to do with my wife. I was just praying, like I was not mad at her. I was praying for myself, and I was wanting God to talk to me about me. Sometimes when you got issues with other people, when you got issues with your wife, you got issues with your children, really you got an issue with yourself. And those are just, those things just kind of like stick out, or they like another pebble that make you feel like you're breaking down. And instead of going to the source to get an answer to figure out what's wrong with you, you take it out on the people around you. So when I opened up that word, I went in the kitchen for one thing, but when I opened up the word and I started to ask God to speak to me about me, and I just started to read this, he was like, son, just go from one city to the next. It's like, I know you're tired. I know it may seem like, you know, one Sunday the church full and the other Sunday the church empty. And you're doing all this on your job and the people still ain't getting right. And then you got this going on in your house. And then your money look like this. But as I was reading, I was watching Paul from one city to the next, from one city to the next. Some people would get saved. A lot of people would believe. But then there always came an uproar. But the part that stood out to me the most, and this is starting at the 22nd verse, is when Paul finally went to Athens. He went to Athens. And this, the word says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. And he said to the men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. So Mars Hill was a place where all the philosophers would go. And they would sit around and they would just talk about their problems, and they would philosophize about God, about love, about death, about all of these things. And so Paul goes to Athens, and the first thing he does, he just watches. He watches how they go about their daily life. And then when he finally speaks, he says, you know, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. He says, for I have passed by and beheld your devotions. I find an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. What are you saying, Pastor? So Paul goes to this city. He watches how the people go about their religious life, their devotions. And they have all of these different gods, Zeus and Athena. They have all these different gods. And then there's this one spot where there is no name. It's a placeholder for the unknown God. And Paul is saying, you know, y'all are superstitious. Why does he choose the word superstitious? And this is why. Because some of us worship God superstitiously. He's like an add-on God. We do a little bit of this. I'm going to do a little bit of this over here. I'm going to do a little bit of this over here. I'm going to do a little bit of this over here. But I'm also going to do a little bit of this Jesus, because that's what grandma would say. He God too. So just so all my bases are covered, I'm going to do a little bit of Jesus on the side. So for the Greeks, they left this one spot just in case they missed the God. Just in case they missed this one God, the one that they didn't know. Just in case I miss a God, I'm going to put this on. I'm going to put this right here for a safety net. In case Zeus can't do it. In case Athena can't do it. I'm going to have this little safety net over here for the unknown God. Some of us treat Jesus like a safety net. We treat him like a safety net. We do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but just in case this don't play out like I want, I'm going to reserve a little room in my heart for the unknown God, for Jesus. So Paul says, right, I passed by, I watched your devotions, I found this altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Wherefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. Paul is basically saying, let me tell you the God that you missed. Let me tell you the one, like, you got unknown, but he has made himself known. Let me tell you about the one that is the only God. You got it up here, but you're doing it for ignorant reasons. You're doing it as a safety net. Let me tell you how you should do it for real. Your worship is superstition. How many of y'all, right, you holding on to Jesus just enough. You holding on to Jesus just enough because you don't want nothing bad to happen. You think, if I hold on, if I give just enough, then God going to keep me. instead of giving your all. Lord, I thank you. Paul told him, y'all are ignorantly worshiping. And ignorant does not mean stupid. It means you don't know. You don't know. So Paul is, he's not trying to make them feel dumb. He's saying, I've watched you and I've seen what you've been doing, and it has become clear to me that you don't know. He tells him, he says, God, let me tell you about the God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. He dwelleth not in temples made with hand, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he need anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He says the God that so many of you are worshiping is not the real God. The God that I'm trying to tell you about made the world and everything in it. He is the God of heaven and earth, and he is not worshiping temples. He is not worshipped in temples made with hand. Neither is he worshipped with all the things, the works that you think you're doing. It says that. It says that. Because if God was dependent on our money, if he was dependent on his buildings, then what kind of God would that be? If we had to have a big building to worship him, then what kind of God would that be? If you had to have a whole bunch of money to be in a relationship with God, then what kind of God would that be? If you had to be skinny, and dare I say beautiful, because that's even that in itself. If God made you, you fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about all the things that we spend our time concentrating on. How I look, what size I am, how dark I am. How much money do I have? Where am I in my life at 30, at 40? What degree do I have? What car do I? Think about all the things. If our God depended on those things, then what kind of God would that be? He don't care about none of that. And Paul is trying to let them know that the God I'm trying to tell you about is not the God that you're worshiping. The 26th verse says, and have made of one blood all nations of all men for to dwell on the face of the earth. He's talking about race. He said he made everybody, Jews, Greeks, light, dark, Asian, white, everybody, and have determined the times appointed and the bonds of their habitation. He says not only has he made everybody, he knew when you were going to be born and he knows when you're going to die. He knows the lane that you're supposed to be traveling in, and he placed you right where you're supposed to be. How many of us have ran, cross town, cross city, cross state? Did you find what you're looking for? Did you find joy? Did you find peace? Ran, right? And we don't consider that idol worship. But anything outside of the will of God, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Well, Pastor, how am I supposed to know the will of God? Have you asked? Because when you read Paul, when he's talking about Titus, when Paul is talking about Timothy, when he's talking about his sons in the faith, he's talking to them like he knows them. For some of y'all, for a lot of y'all, I was there when you got saved. I know what you used to do, and I'm not talking about it in a bad way. I'm talking about what you used to do for God and what you do now, and the two are not equal. I know what it looked like. I know the look in your eyes when you first, I don't forget. I remember what Ryan looked like when he walked down to the altar. I remember the peace that was on Khadija when she first started coming here. I remember the conversations with my sis right here, with Tanya. I remember the conversations in the classroom with my daughter right here when she got baptized in Americas. I remember that when her mama was there. Going back, to your first love. And so all of these things, Paul is trying to tell the Athenians, he's trying to tell these Greek men, right? Y'all, well, I see what you're doing. And I'm not even finding fault in what you're doing, but let me tell you the real thing. See, some of us, we get angry with church, or we feel pricked some kind of way, convicted some kind of way. But the things that I'm saying is not to necessarily make you feel bad. I'm just trying to offer you a better way. Because for some of you, it's obvious that God is unknown. Y'all can't sit there and tell me that you're not confused about who Jesus is. I know some of y'all got questions. But we don't, because of this, and because all the stuff that we got going on in our life, all the stuff we got going on with our job, we don't take the time to sit down with God. That's why sometimes he gotta wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go sit in the kitchen. And I probably would have fought that feeling if I had known I had to get up and go to work. Man, I gotta get up, God. I gotta be up at 6 o'clock. I gotta be up at 6 o'clock. And I would have fought that feeling to go read, but I remember a time where I would read all night. But we get so far away. We get so far away thinking that we know God when we like, no, that's not his character. That's not how he operates. That's not how he moves. 26, it says, right, so he has made one blood of all nations. Right, he has determined the times appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Why? That if they would seek the Lord. Paul is telling you, I know that y'all worshiping all these other things, that you got the spot for this unknown God. But if you would seek the Lord, if you would seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him. How many of y'all can say that you are actively feeling after the Lord? That phrase don't sound right, does it? Feel after. That means you reaching for it. Think about when you walk around in the dark and you touching the wall. You feeling for the wall, right? To make sure that you don't bust your head, that you don't run into something. That's what God wants you. He wants you to be actively reaching out, saying, God, where are you? Touching for him, reaching for him, trying to find him. Where are you? Seeking for him. Paul says, like, I know you don't know him, but if you will seek him, if you will feel for him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, you won't have to do this long before you touch him. If you really want to find him, you won't have to do that long. You won't have to do that reaching long before you find him. The word is telling you he's not far from you. What scripture tells us is that a lot of times, we get so close, we be 11 days away. 11 days away from the promised land and spend 40 in the wilderness. Because we give up the search. But we start murmuring and complaining. Because we got to eat this manna, which was bread from heaven, don't make no sense. We complaining about the manna. We complaining about what God has provided. Right? Wanted to go back, like they wanted to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to the food I had. You remember you was a slave, right? You remember how the Egyptians treated you, right? You remember how they was killing babies, right? You remember all the stuff, and you want to go back to that? God is providing for you right now, but you want to go back to that? But if you would just hold on to what he's giving you right now in this moment, 11 days from now, you'll be in the promised land. But we give up the search so quick. We want it to be convenient. We want the search to be convenient. We just want to type it in. I went from this little thing to this. I was telling Pastor T that it had got to the point where I was only reading to preach. I would search the words that I knew because I know the word. Oh, yeah, say this in Hebrew. So I'm going to pull that scripture from Hebrew. I'm going to weave these together, and then that's going to be the sermon. But it had stopped reading for me. But stop reading for me. He's bringing me back to that place. Paul says if you will seek him, if you will feel for him, you will find him because he's not far from every one of us. For in him, this is why you got to find him. For in him, we live. We live. Some of y'all are breathing, but you're not living. Some of y'all are breathing, But you're not living. For in him we live and move. We move in all, we some busybodies, but how many of y'all constantly busy and you got tons of things on your plate for this coming week, but you at the same time, you feel like you ain't going nowhere, like you're stuck. How can you constantly be in motion and still feel stuck? For in him we live, we move, and we have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For so much then as we are the offspring of God, we are not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and by man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at you. In the times of your ignorance, God winked at you. So I know y'all, because we use the term God wink all the time. Like, that's God winking at us. Let us know, like, I got you. But in the same time that he doing that, like, I got you, he winking at you like, you really don't know, but I do got you. You don't know, but I got you. Because you ignorant. You don't know. You don't know me for real, but I got you. I care about you. Paul said, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, there is going to come a day, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Paul talks about when I was a child, I behaved as a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child. But when I became grown, I put away childish things. God is winking at some of y'all right now. He's winking at you today, like, you know, I know you're trying, and I got you. But it's some more work you got to do. It's some repentance that got to take place. It's some forgiveness. It's some tough things that got to take place. Right? I'm like, you. He know. He respects the fact that you got that placeholder for Jesus in your life. But some people don't have no placeholder for him. They done with him. He's looking at the Greeks, and they got Zeus right here. They got all these gods around there. He got a little corner for Jesus. God like, okay, all right, I see you. You holding on. You ain't gave up on the church completely. I got you. But that ain't going to get you in. There comes a time when God is going to say, but like, once I tell you that all these other gods got to be put to the side, when are you going to repent? When you going to stop worshiping man? When you going to stop worshiping money? Because I want to tell y'all, see, women, most of the time, they worship men. I ain't just talking about, like, mankind. They care so much about what other people think. Men, on the other hand, we worship money, material possessions. Because it makes us feel like a provider. It makes us feel strong. It makes us feel like we have authority. It makes us feel like we have power to get people to listen to us or move. Like, it makes us feel like I can move how I want to move. All of us idolatry. All of us idolatry. Paul says, right, in times past I winked at you, and I'm almost done, JJ, but now I commandeth men everywhere to repent. Why? 31st verse, and this is my last verse. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, talking about Jesus, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. I want to hear some more about that. Where are you today in that process? Do you believe that Jesus is coming back? As I was reading my Bible in that kitchen, it's partly my fault, because I think I have done such a good job in this church of teaching y'all how to make stuff personal. how to take the word and apply it to your life. I think I've done an excellent job of that. To the point that sometimes we make it so personal that everything becomes about us and not just the, just Christ, period. When I read the scriptures, when I read that God, Christ is coming back, period, when Christ is coming back and he's going to resurrect the dead and he's going to judge, sometimes that's the only thing you need to hear in the church. You don't need to hear about how he's going to fix your marriage or he got you in a relationship or he's going to provide for you and he's going to give you a new job. Yes, my God can do all of those things, but sometimes you just need to hear that God is trying to save your soul, period. He's coming back to judge whether anything get better for you, whether anything changes, whether God decides to do anything else to give you anything that you want. He's still God. He's still God. And he's coming back. He's coming back. God has appointed a day where he's going to judge the world in righteousness. And some of them heard of the resurrection and they mocked. And others said that we're going to hear this again. And then you know what Paul did? Where the next verse that he departed, he went on to the next city. Here's what I'm going to do. Eventually, because I'm coming in, I'm going to put this mic down. I'm going to go on into next week. I'm going to go on to the next sermon. I'm going to, if the Lord allow me to live, I'm going to go on to the next year. I'm going to go on to the next 5 years. I'm going to go on to the next 10 years. But this day, the gospel has been preached to you. What are you going to do with it? Y'all realize it's already April. A fourth of the year is almost over in a couple of weeks. It just seemed like it was just January, like it was just watch night. A fourth of the year is gone already. Time is not slowing down. I don't, God continues to have me come back to this message like the message I preached before Easter Sunday. 70 years, 80 if you strong. 70 years, 80 if you strong. What are you waiting on? If you don't know the God of the Bible today, get in somebody church, get in some Bible study, get in your word, put your phone down, no texting allowed. Cut that phone off. Cut it off. Get in your word. Sit in the quiet. Cut that smart TV off. Cut that podcast off. Cut YouTube off. Just open the Bible and read. And when you don't understand what you read, ask questions. That's how I got saved. I call my pastor and I ask the question. Call your minister and ask the question. Time is not slowing down, y'all. It's not. You get one life to live. One life to live. In these 70, 80 years, it's going to be the shortest part of it. This life you're living right now is going to be the shortest part of it. It's going to be a blink in the eye, because the rest is going to be eternity. Amen. Amen. Y'all come on and give the Lord a hand.